Welcome to another week of the Trojan Preview. Asa Lucas alongside the Atlantic Trojans head football coach Joe Brummer. Coach, coming off of a 21-7 loss to Winterset last Friday, saw a good second wind or at least a push and some good mentality from the Trojans to try to make it close. You know, what are your thoughts having a weekend to review some film and think back on that game? What did you like from the Trojans and what could they have done better?
Yeah, like you said, I thought we had a good fight. No one gave up. No one packed it in just because things weren't going our way. A lot of dealing with adversity that the kids did a good job of. Overall, I thought we played well. We just didn't finish. We got the ball inside the 30, the 25. I think we were inside the 20 at one point just with no points. So it's just one of those things that if we finished drives. If we make some blocking a little bit here differently or we make a cut back here or there, like might make the difference in the game. We got inside the 20 on fourth down, tried to make a play. Through an interception, which happens, we're trying to make plays. Like it was fourth down, so try to get the most that we can. That if that's a touchdown, it's a totally different outlook. That we're starting up 7-0 instead of down. The defense played really well. Didn't give up too many big plays. 21 points is not bad to a really good football team with Winterset. That overall, I thought we played really well. Just didn't finish those drives that we're going to talk about and go over. When we review film with the guys, just kind of the little differences between good and great, like that we're a good team. I think we're a solid, good team. But if you score those touchdowns, you become a really tough and like almost great team. That those are the difference. And that's why Winterset's a great team because they finished those drives when they got into the red zone and we didn't.
A big part of this Trojans' offensive identity is the run game that's been established now since week zero. You had that I formation you stick to. And Tyson O'Brien was sort of interesting. You look back on that game, 20 carries and only 80 yards. For a lot of high school kids, that's not a bad day's work. But for him, it's a little bit underneath his potential. And what would you say Winterset was doing so effectively to limit his run game ability?
Tackling. They did a phenomenal job there flying downhill. They put a new safety in there that hadn't played a ton. He used to play linebacker for him. That they basically put a linebacker in there to run downhill and make tackles because that's what linebackers do. We can't account for the safeties there in the run game overall, but no, if 80 yards is a bad day, like that's kind of, good on us to have that standard. But no, couple of those carries that Tyson normally we get 4 or 5, but normally they're 8 to 10. So just kind of the difference in the game was their tackling, their ability to fly downhill. They did a really good job of pursuing to the football, which is why Brock Goodrich got loose on that one play for us, that we kind of used it to our advantage with the over pursuit there. But overall, I thought we played well in the run game. Tyson did a good job of being tough between the tackles, running really hard. Got the wind knocked out of him for a little bit there that Ethan McNeil hopped right in. That overall, I think we played pretty well. We just need to kind of be a little bit shiftier there instead of Gavin included with Tyson instead of trying to run guys over, but maybe put a move on him because, Winterset was a great tackling team. It's something we're going to work on this week and talk about when it comes to being in the open field and what we're looking for.
Speaking of Gavin McLaren, I liked his effort there in the second half. His stats aren't anything spectacular, but 8 carries, 55 yards, you're averaging 7 yards a carry. And the emphasis, it seemed like he understood in the second half if the run game was going to be explosive, he needed to be a big part of that. And he had some great carries. He was breaking at least 2 to 3 tackles. And, what do you say to Gavin McLaren, or what have you noticed about his mentality heading into this year and just continuing to be tough as nails?
Yeah, it's a very tough role with our fullback because you're going to get hit every play. If you're not running the ball, then you're blocking for somebody that is running the ball. So it's kind of an unselfish role there where we run toss a lot, we run lead a lot, that he's got to be the guy that's at the focal point of that to block for us. It's an unselfish position that it takes a special person to do it. Because you're not going to get all the glory. Tyson gets the glory when he busts a big run, but you're the guy that blocks for him. So I think he did a really good job. We talked about this week about being a little bit wider on some of those fullback dive plays instead of just going straight up the A-gap. And he adjusted. Him and Tristan did a good job of working their meshes this week. And in practice, they communicated and talked that he did a really good job. So I think that paid off on the 7 yards a run type of thing. 8 carries is pretty good. Probably something that we need to adjust and get him some more touches. Him and Ethan both. McNeil only had like 3 carries that kind of lighten the load a little bit on Tyson. So that way we can balance it up a little bit more and not be, so predictable with Tyson back there. But overall, I thought those guys played really well. Gavin did a good job blocking. And then, when he gets the ball, he runs hard.
And we talked about, or you said earlier on, trying to finish down. If you can score inside the red zone, that's what takes you from a good team to a great team, is finishing those drives. And there was a few times there was penalties that seemed to take a lot of wind out of the sails for the Trojans. And as a head coach, what do you think is the best way to minimize penalties, or at least have your players learn from those mistakes?
Yeah, it's just, some aggressive penalties, which is something that you're going to live with. It's kind of one of those things that we're a little frustrated, but it's kind of a holding penalty here, or the false starts are frustrating. Those are something that we need to make sure that we clean up. Those are preventable, but the holding ones, there's arguably holding on every play. It's one of those things they talk about that we'll take the aggressive penalties. We'll take the holding because they're not going to call it every play. Especially on the run plays, that means our guys are being physical. It's something we don't want to take out of them, that we want to make sure that we have the physical nature. It's just something we need to rep and practice, of making sure our hands stay inside, that we're scraping ribs is what we call it with our elbows. That way everything else stays inside, that we need to work on that. Just the fundamentals part, which we'll get back to this week in practice. But, the false starts are the ones that we really need to clean up. A couple bad snaps that, we're going to prevent with, that we need to make sure that we have a towel, that we have something to wipe our hands off with. If it's rainy or sweat or this or that, that it's supposed to be possibility of rain in the forecast this week, that we're prepared and that there's no excuses for, those type of things, that we have everything double, triple checked, so that way everything's, going to be okay and going according to plan.
Taking a look at Friday, get to come back home. It's homecoming week. I've talked to you about this last year. I wondered if your thoughts or perspectives have changed at all as a coach with homecoming.
No, they haven't.
If you want to get a more detailed answer on that, you can go on our website at KJN.com, and we have that interview archived for Trojan Preview. But with the homecoming and the distractions that are around, you still got a football game to play.
Football game is a priority.
And you got a 3-1 Knoxville team that I'm sure remembered their loss at their home field last year. So what have you noticed on film-wise about Knoxville?
Yeah, they chuck and duck. They're not afraid to throw it. They know their strengths. They know their personnel. They have a really good wide receiving core and a good quarterback to throw it. So it's kind of led by the Higginbotham kid, that he does a phenomenal job. I think he's got to be out of eligibility soon. Like, this kid's been around forever at wide receiver for him. Tight end, they move him around type of thing. But he's an athlete. He's someone we have to account for, that he leads their team in receptions. I think he leads them in yards. He plays both ways, that he plays a little bit of outside linebacker. He used to play corner for him. Like, he guarded Colton Rasmussen against us last year, that, he's their best athlete, that they try to give him the ball as much as they can. And I would too, he's a good athlete out there. But overall, the Woosley kid does a great job, throwing the ball back there. I might pronounce his name wrong, but, their quarterback, Brendan, he does a good job of getting the ball out quick, get it out in space, let your athletes do the work, and they got good athletes. So they're definitely 3-1 for a reason. Defensively, they play downhill. They're in a 3-front with an odd front. Something looks like a 5 sometimes, but they like to move. They like to blitz. They're not just going to sit there and watch us just pound the ball like some teams do and just sit in it. That they're going to move. They're going to twist. They're going to blitz. It's something that we're going to work on this week in practice, of picking up those blitzes, communicating up front, and making sure all gaps are accounted for, because they're going to fill them all.
And when you're facing a team that likes to have a defense full of such movement, and you talk about blocking assignments, again, is that going to be the job of Tristan Hayes, would you say, to pick up on these blitzes are coming? Or are you looking more towards your offensive line to be aware? What would you like to see happen?
Yeah, that's something that we talk about with our center. Trayvon Hansen calls our protections. He calls out our pulls, and all of our linemen do, but Trayvon starts it being at center spot for us. And something that we work on, that all 5 guys need to communicate and be on the same page, with the calls, with the talking, the communicating. Like, I tell them all the time, I do not care if they know where you are going or not going, they still have to stop it. So, if we have to stand up there and point at the kid and tell him, hey, Reed, you got 82 or this or that, that it's something that we communicate, we talk, and the linemen all are, the expectation is that they all talk to one another, all communicate to make sure they work as one and be on the same page. That's one thing we don't want to put on our quarterback as well, to work protection, schemes, passing. That's another thing that if we can take off his plate for any quarterback, that's something that we want to do with a good center. With 4 out of 5 guys coming back on the line, that's the expectation, that those guys can communicate and talk and be on the same page to know where everybody needs to go.
And what would you say, at least when you get to play in the Trojan Bowl, what's one of your favorite aspects of being here back home at Atlantic?
Yeah, it goes back to Trojan Bowl magic. It's just a special place. you know, coming here, you hear about it, but it's not really a thing until you experience it. We've been in some tight games, some close games that magically the ball bounces a different way, that magically, you know, a couple overtime games where there hasn't been a bad snap all game, and then there's a bad snap that we recover and the game's over. I'm going back to, I want to say it was homecoming against Creston, like one of my third or fourth year here, you know, against some really good teams with Jalen Smallwood at quarterback, Downing at left tackle for Creston, that, you know, Division I players that we had no business being in a game with, that magically, you know, it's close at the end, take them to overtime and win on a fluke play. Type of thing, and then just stuff like that. Against Ballard a couple years ago, Carter Pellett runs the wrong route and magically gets open, and Caden Anderson finds him, catching the back of the end zone. Just stuff that seemed to happen that really shouldn't. That it's a great atmosphere, it's a great place to play, renovated or not, with the difference in turf versus grass, it's still, you know, some Trojan Bowl magic where there's some weird bounces that most of the time go our way, but that's got to be earned. You know, it's an effort thing that the ball bounces your way when you play hard, and that's the expectation that we have, is that we play hard. You know, it doesn't matter the score, doesn't matter the outcome, that, you know, we're going to have good effort, attitude and effort is stuff that we can't coach, that's just an expectation that we have.
So should we call you the Magic Man then?
Absolutely not.
Well, once again, Asa Lucas here on Trojan Preview with the Atlantic Trojans head football coach Joe Brummer. Coach, thank you very much for joining us, and good luck.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Asa.